I and many others, starting with President Biden, have worked to impress upon Israel the moral, the strategic, the legal imperative of doing everything possible to provide humanitarian assistance to people who need it. And of course, we've seen Israel take important steps over the last 6 or so months, whether it was opening Kerem Shalom, whether it was actually starting by opening the Rafah crossing to begin to allow assistance in, Kerem Shalom, guaranteed fuel deliveries, flour through the Ashdod port, opening a new gate, 96 gate, just a couple of weeks ago. Now the maritime corridor that many of us are working to establish. They've taken steps, but it is, simply put, insufficient.
Insufficient. So this is the big battle today is in the House. Well, it starts. I mean, this whole fight over the spending and the incessant, what is it, game of speakership? I don't want to say Game of Thrones, although it kind of is like that. That's, I mean, ultimately what they're dealing with. And we're gonna dive into some of it, although I'd rather at this point jump off my roof because I'm so sick and tired of talking about these fools. I really am. I know you are as well. But it's our tax dollars, so we have to deal with it. They have a lot of stuff that they're fighting over. And then in the middle of it, they also want to have a battle over whether or not they think that Mike Johnson is going to be a capable enough speaker. All right, so welcome to the show. Dana Loesch here with you. Always good to be with you. And as you know, we can listen coast to coast. You can also find us, the simulcast of the radio program, Channel 347, DirecTV, everything else. So the dissension that is in the House right now, the internal turmoil, and I mentioned some of this yesterday because you had Marjorie Taylor Greene and some others that, you know, they're upset. They're going after Mike Johnson, saying that, you know, he's not able to stop. And it's not just him. I mean, there are a lot of people that are like, okay, where's you were supposed to stop the omnibus spending. You were supposed to put a stop to, you know, some of this logjam that we see. Now they're not going to do it because they told you. It's almost like we told them. It's almost like we told everybody, you know, it really is. And then in with all of this, in the middle of 2024, you've got a lot of congressional members that are a little nervous about the machinations of the House because they don't want to imperil their seats. You only have a plus one House majority right now. And all that's going to be decided in this too, in the spending bill, is what you heard Secretary Blinken talking about, the state of any kind of assistance to Israel. And then he's lecturing Israel on allowing aid into Gaza. And we're going to get into that because while you have the infighting going along with the Democrat Party, you also have this, or the Republican Party, you also have this problem with the Democrat Party in which they're being torn apart over whether or not, you know, they support Israel or not. I mean, it's weird to see this sort of falling out within the Democrat Party over this. And there was this strike that took place that killed apparently some aid workers in Gaza. And I'm just, and this is Audio Soundbite 7, Netanyahu acknowledged this earlier today. Listen.
לצערנו, ביממה האחרונה היה מקרה טרגי של פגיעה לא מכוונת של כוחותינו.
He's saying yes, it was our strike. But you know what, though? Here's the issue. What did you think was going to happen? What did all these people think was going to happen? You know, you had Hamas that decided to do this. I can't believe we're still having this insipid conversation. This is so damn stupid. I'm frustrated in that it's like we talk about the same crap every day. We really do. And then all of these people twiddle their thumbs in Washington, D.C. Let me tell you something. I saw this. This is all going to tie this together. Also, with respect to the situation with Hamas, right? I saw this. Jordan Satchel had a fantastic thread. I'm going to pull this up. He had a fantastic thread earlier today in which he was discussing specifically the issue of, I don't know, like response. And he went all the way back to the World War II and the United States versus Japan. And he went all the way back to that because there was some academic influencer. It was some article said, oh, Oppenheimer was released in Japan 8 months after its global release. And they spoke to this historian to learn why the U.S. refuses to take accountability for the war crimes it committed in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and why all of this is relevant to us today. There's one thing that I absolutely will not entertain, and it's that. Maybe it's because my grandpa served in World War II in the Pacific. Maybe it's because of that, or maybe it's because, you know, this was the imperial Japan allied with the Nazis. They allied with the Nazis, and Imperial Japan raped and tortured and brutalized their way across Asia during World War II. That's a fact. And they were the ones who decided to attack America on American soil. The only thing that any of us should be concerned about at that point, and when you're in a war, you choose this outcome. I don't care how many of the opposition dies. I only care of how many Americans don't. That's the big thing. Jordan Satchel had this fantastic thread. He called it woke anti-U.S. propaganda and a bastardization of history, and he's absolutely correct. He said, yes, the U.S. needed to nuke Japan to end the war, and they absolutely did. Imperial Japan, as he notes, was one of the most evil regimes in human history. They were on par with the Germans with the depravity. The slaughter. People who don't know this are too stupid about history to be considered relevant enough to participate in this conversation. You insult history. You insult the people who died fighting World War II with your ignorance. With this plethora of information that we have at our fingertips today, there is no excuse for anyone to be that stupid on history that they should know before they open their uneducated mouths. It is one thing I absolutely will not, I do not entertain stupidity, especially willful stupidity. But here's the problem, and as it relates to what we're dealing with today. Because, as Satchel noted, defeating your enemy in a righteous war of self-defense means forcing an unconditional surrender. And historically speaking, there is no other way to conclude hostilities. And he goes, I know this makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but it's reality. Do you know why it makes some people uncomfortable? Because not everyone understands the cost of war. So I say war is hell. War is awful. War is a horrible thing. It's something that you should only enter in, you know, at the when there's no other option at all whatsoever. Not everybody understands the cost of war. And when people are afraid to make tough calls, when those people are in charge, you get mission creep, never-ending conflict, soaring casualties, soaring expenses, drained resources. When those type of people are in charge, you get Afghanistan. When those type of people are in charge, you get Vietnam. You have a conflict with no clear trajectory, with no objective. You have no idea what's going on. We had, two generations, maybe three in Afghanistan. What was the mission? If an average everyday American can't state it, that's insane. But this is what I'm talking about. Not everybody understands the cost of war. It's not a political tool. War is not a political tool. War is a means of absolute defense. And the conclusion of war requires unconditional surrender. And so you have these people who live off the legacy of those who could make that call. You have these weak-kneed cowards today who so badly want to deliver their hot take upon the world stage of hot takes. They don't understand the cost of war. Those types of people are the ones who get your loved ones killed. Those types of people are the ones who result in people being left behind at Bagram in Afghanistan. Those types of people are the ones who end up getting everyone swamped down and murdered in Vietnam. It's those type of people who do it. The ones who can't make the tough calls because they have neither the spine, the insight, the intelligence, or the tactical understanding. Those type of people. And I see them right now with Gaza. I see them absolutely right now. There are so many people out there who are so terrified to state the obvious because they're afraid it costs them some precious popularity. These sickening, disgusting people. They're too afraid to acknowledge that this is a strip of land that voted for terrorists. Literally, they literally voted for terrorists to represent them. The terrorists grew so popular that of the two portions of land, they were going to take over the second one too. And they pretty much have in everything but name. This is a terrorist entity that doesn't recognize, rejects peace, refuses to recognize any kind of sovereignty from its neighbor to the north. It's actually in their charter. It's an entity that believes that rape is a weapon. Murdering infants is an acceptable form of war. They use their own citizens as shields. I mean, there's a reason why the body count in Gaza is the way it is. It's because Hamas kills them. And then, insanely, because of years of conditioning, people go out there and they defend Hamas. And they act like it's everyone else's fault that they're all getting killed. Again, elected government of Gaza. But people are afraid to say this because they're so terrified that someone's going to conduct an illogical argument and accuse them of wanting innocents to die, which is just stupid. No one but Hamas wants innocents to die. Hamas goes out of their way to murder them. And this is accepted by the United Nations, and it's accepted by everybody who makes excuses for Hamas, including many Americans, just because they hate Jewish people. They're Adolf-like, their little Adolf-like manifestation of hatred towards someone who's different from them causes them to defend people like Hamas, terrorists like Hamas. And we're in that exact same position today. Everything, the weak need stuff that you see that got us in the situation with Vietnam and Afghanistan, you see those excuses being made today with Gaza. The correct call is getting out of the way and letting Israel turn it to glass. And there are some very unfortunate consequences that come with that. That is the cost of war. That is why war is hell. That is why all these people who pretend to care so much now should have cared a little bit more earlier. They should have cared a little bit more when Hamas was firing rockets off of elementary school rooftops. They should have cared a little bit more when Hamas was digging their headquarters tunnels underneath Al-Shifa Hospital. They should have cared a little bit more every single damn time that Hamas violated a ceasefire agreement, including on October 6th. They had 20 years of caring more until it got to this point. Their care wasn't enough. Their efforts towards that care wasn't enough. So this is the result. They were warned. They were told. They were pleaded with. They were begged. They were asked. There were meetings. There were leaders who got together at the United Nations. There were phone calls made. And guess what? They still chose wrong. And this is the consequence of that. This is the real world. And there are real world consequences to blowing into a sovereign entity, raping to death their women, kidnapping their babies, and obliterating entire communities. Real world consequences. And that means that someone, if you are brutal, you will be dealt with brutally, and you will be forced into an unconditional destruction. Because clearly living with this entity, coexisting isn't an option by their choice for the past 20 plus years. So destruction it is. And if you're one of the people who have a problem with that, God help you. You're one of the people who cost lives, who drag out wars, who push mission creep, who cause casualties to soar, expenses to soar, and you create a hellscape on earth because you lack the spine and the fortitude to do what is right. War is hell. And if you don't want to be a part of it, then care enough to prevent it. Now, we have a lot more on the way. Ready-wise, they just want to make sure that you're prepared all the time because you never know. We had like storms that rolled through last night and I was just watching and waiting. I'm like, oh my gosh, we know it's probably going to get crazy here at some point. But ReadyWise, they understand how important it is to be prepared, and they want to make it easy for you to do so as well. When you go to ReadyWise, you can use code Dana to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. It's a great American company that provides high-quality, delicious food packed at their state-of-the-art plant right here in the U.S. of A. So you're supporting American jobs, and you're also making sure that you never have to worry about, you know, what you and your family eat if, heaven forbid, something goes wrong, if there's a natural disaster, or maybe you just, like, want to go hiking or hunting and, you know, you want to have some food going along with you. Gives you peace of mind because you have nutritious meals. You can trust the ingredients. You can trust where it's packed. Their one-month supply, two-bucket bundle, 36 pouches of premium survival food, 2,000 plus calories, 50 grams, actually over that, of protein per day. No refrigeration required. Easy to prepare. Just add water. 25-year shelf life. They have a lot of good selections. You got to go check it out. The time to prepare is now. So visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is in Texas, a former North Richland Hills jail is turned into the nation's biggest recording complex. They said it's an 80,000 square foot recording and rehearsal facility in Tarrant County, and they're recording songs in it. It is a music complex. It's a bunch of studios. One musician opened it, and he said it was built in 1975. He likes the nostalgia. If you don't record rockabilly in there, we cannot be friends. Like, come on. Like, you got to have one good, you know what I mean? But they said, it was their municipal jail for a while, and they're still expanding it. They want to have, like, a stage area in there and all of that. But, it's a jail. I hope they keep all of, the jail amenities. Like, that would just be neat to have, you know what I mean? You know, I don't know. I'm just, thinking out loud. That's kind of interesting. This story, Boston. Bostonians are livid because the former Chelsea Soldiers Home facility is set to become a homeless shelter. Residents are outraged because it was supposed to be turned into veteran housing. Now they're putting illegal immigrants in there. And the city is also asking residents to take people into their homes. This is Democrat Governor Mara Healey doing this. And they were going to demolish the Soldiers Home facility. It was going to be into a safety net site in April. And now it's going to be, it's like they're putting illegal immigrants in there. And then they're also asking people to take in and house. That's insane to me. In Boston, think about how you vote. And there's moves to ban lab-grown meat intensifying in Republican states. There's no such thing as lab-grown meat. Let's be honest about it. Stick with us.
Hello. Thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/R-A-D-I-O, radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Totally different topic. How worried do Americans need to be about squatters?
About squatters?
About squatters. There's a lot of stories out there. Homeowners are showing up at places that they own, where the locks have been changed, some squatter has moved in, and the homeowner has no rights. Does President Biden think that is right?
So if my understanding is that this is obviously a local issue. We are certainly tracking that issue. The rights of property owners and renters must be protected.
Except
and we believe that, ultimately, what needs to happen is the local government needs to make sure that they address this and they take action.
So wait, when is property ownership a local issue and when is it not? Because during the lockdown, remember, the CDC got involved and said that, oh, you have to have a rent moratorium. You can't collect rent on property and you still have to allow people to live in your home, to squat in your house, so to speak. And you have to pay all of the utilities and everything else still for them, or you could get in trouble. You still have to pay your property tax and all of that other stuff. but you can't change the locks, you can't kick them out. They don't have to pay any kind of rent right now per CDC because, you know, we're in a national emergency for the pandemic and the lockdown and all of these things. So, like, when is it a local issue and when is it not? Because they kind of already did de facto squatting earlier, right? So when is it, what makes that, what made that a federal issue and not a local issue? Welcome back to the program. Yeah, Dana Loesch here with you. Yeah, what makes it different? I mean, he literally, they came out and said, no, CDC said, you know, the Centers for Disease Control has thoughts about your leases and rent. Wait, Centers for Disease, yes, the Centers for Disease Control, they would like to pause all the people paying rent, you know, for the pandemic. Oh, does that mean I get a pause on my property? No, you still, we heard what you were thinking. You know, you still have to pay your property taxes. And also, it should be noted that you're disallowed from turning off the utilities because that would be mean to the people who are living in your property that don't have to pay you rent for it. And it's technically just, you know, federalized squatting, but that's okay. You can't do any of that. You can't change the locks. You can't do any of those things. That's squatting, guys. And it was overturned in the Ninth Circuit. That's squatting. That was like squatting. Or Fifth Circuit. They were... That, so they, when is it not, when is it? An update on that family of the Missouri teenager, since we're talking about some law and order, and then we're going to get into some of this LSU stuff here coming up. The family of this Missouri teenager who was charged with bashing 15 or 16-year-old Kaylee Gaines' head into the pavement. Remember, she is on camera, had her head bashed in, and the family of the attacker sounds ridiculous. They're like, she's an honor student. And she, you know, she just is always so diligent in her life. And this, oh yeah, she diligently bashed this girl's head into the pavement. A plus for that. A plus for attempted murder, you psychopaths. The family, you can see why the attacker thought that was okay to do it. Because the attacker reads like a brat whose family coddles her. So the family of the teenage girl charged with the violent assault, all caught on camera, they apparently... were trying to run a fundraiser for legal fees and it was taken down. Yeah, because you're not allowed to do any of that stuff. You can't. I mean, she was charged. And apparently the 16-year-old girl that she attacked, Kaylee Gaines, has been released from intensive care. And a lawyer said that she's been able to engage in limited verbal conversations. Sounds like she's not going to be the same is what it sounds like, if I'm being honest. And they said that she can't really walk yet. She's, you know, good heavens. And the family of the attacker's like, oh, you know, she's, you know, the people are so cruel. They had a GoFundMe, the family of the girl. And I think the family's last name is Declue. Marnice Declue. They confirmed her name publicly in a statement to address misconceptions around her arrest. Marnice Declue is 15 years old. And so Declue's attorney, through the family, had said that they had a GoFundMe to raise money to assist with her legal fees after she was charged with felony assault. And GoFundMe removed it because they said it breached their terms and conditions, and that's true. So, I mean, you can't be charged with something and then raise money for defense like that. It doesn't work that way. That's not how they do it. And the family's like, oh, she's an honor roll student, whatever. There's literally no excuse. They were trying to also say that the girls had been, you know, they had tussled before. And I don't care. What matters is what was caught on video. Declue bashed Gaines's head into the pavement. And then after Gaines went limp, Declue was still bashing that girl's head in the pavement. Declue only stopped bashing that girl's head in the pavement when another girl knocked her off of Gaines. She'd have probably killed her. I think she would have damn killed her. I really do. And at that point, I can't think anything but she was trying to kill her. She had that girl's head in her hands like a basketball and was just slamming it on the asphalt. And they can say whatever they want to. They can sit here and go, oh, she called her name or she did this. I mean, there's all kinds of, they're trying to justify it every which way to Sunday. The bottom line is that what was caught on that video, to me, that's attempted murder. I mean, they better be praising the high heavens for that other girl coming and knocking Declue off Gaines. Otherwise, Declue would probably be facing life because that Gaines would be dead. just no accountability. And I'm sorry, that DeClue girl looks like a girl who's fought before. You guys know what I'm talking about. Gaines didn't look like she had ever been in a fight. That girl looked like she was out of her depth. DeClue looked like she brawls. She immediately knew what to do. You all know what I'm talking about. You don't have to be in UFC or anything else to know. That girl looked like she knew how to fight because she fights a lot. That's what it looks like to me. That other girl was like, didn't even know how to throw a punch, God help her. Good heavens. Did you guys see this? It's in the context of Gaza. Did you guys see this dude? Remember the Bushnell guy who set himself on fire in front of the embassy in D.C.? To protest Israel defending itself. Well, now who are these dudes? I'm not even going to read you my veteran friend's remarks to this guy because they're not fit for air. some of the best put downs are from them, I got to say. This one, it was a Veterans for Peace thing, and it said it's an active duty Air Force senior airman, Larry Hebert. He's doing a self-aggrandizing hunger strike to highlight the plight of the starving children in Gaza. And he has a sign. He's walking around in front of the White House, and it says, active duty airman refuses to eat while Gaza starves. And he took apparently authorized leave, and he's doing this. He's merching out his military service to... What about the babies and the other kids that... Hamas kidnapped. I mean, it's weird that he didn't do this when Hamas was setting off rockets on the tops of hospitals and schools and burying stuff in churches and that. I mean, it's really weird that he didn't do his hunger strike then. What's his face? Larry Hebert. It's so weird that he didn't do his hunger strike then, that he's just doing it now. A friend of mine joked and said, just give him... this is what one veteran friend of mine said. They said, someone just give him some lighter fluid already. Oh, man. Yeah. I maybe did that elicited an actual LOL. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. Nobody talks about, what about the kids that they've kidnapped? What about the American hostages they've kidnapped? Hell, we don't even know hardly anything about them if it's not for their families. So did you guys see this LSU stuff? I don't follow women's basketball, so I can't tell you what's on. So LSU Iowa game. And the team, apparently, the Iowa players held hands during the American National Anthem, and the LSU players left the court, apparently, before the anthem was performed. And they had video of it, and it shows the Iowa, but you don't see the LSU players leaving the court because they're just not there. And it shows the Iowa players out there. And then LSU lost the game 94-87. LSU head coach Kim Mulkey said that it wasn't intentional that they weren't out on the court. She said that she didn't even know when it was played. She said they have a routine for leaving the court at a certain time. Kane, when is the anthem usually performed at games? Maybe I'm mistaken. I mean, I've played a lot of sports in school. Right. Yeah, in the beginning. Yeah, right.
Right.
You know, before the game.
Right.
Is played. She said, Mulkey said, I honestly don't even know when the anthem was played. We kind of have a routine when they're on the floor and they come off at the 12-minute mark. We come in, we do our pregame stuff. She's like, I'm sorry, listen, she says, nothing intentionally done.
Kind of a routine to do the national anthem right before those sporting events. That's routine also.
And someone else said, LSU's never on the court for the national anthem. Apparently, they did this last year during the national championship game via Red State against Iowa. And some said that there are other teams that did it as well. But it doesn't sound like a lot of people are buying it. I mean, who doesn't know? Like, really? Like, when you know when they're going to play the anthem.
Right.
Come on. You know when they're going to play it. Why is your routine structured in a way that doesn't include being out on the court for the anthem? I mean, I've never been to a game where the anthem did not kick off a game. Right? Have you, I mean, think about it for a minute. Have you ever been to a game where the anthem didn't kick it off? No. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. But But was it done on purpose for, because I don't even know what they would even be protesting. I don't even know. Does that, it doesn't, I don't know. Steve, you did you watch a game, or you're familiar with this, right? You're familiar with, I mean, they said LSU's never on the court for the anthem.
I did watch the game. Them not being out there was interesting because the only, I was trying to look for both sides of the scenario, but if you look, the whole crowd is standing and all the referees and all the officials and the media is all there, and they're the only ones not out there. So I'm like, who didn't get them? Because usually in the locker rooms, there's a clock, like a countdown that tells you when the game starts. So I don't know why they wouldn't have been out there.
That is weird. So, I mean, speculatively, is this a way to avoid for them to, are they doing the protest thing for the anthem still, and this is a way for them to avoid it?
It looks like that.
Is that preferable to then taking the knee? I mean, if you're going to have a protest, I just think, you know, I prefer, you know, a peaceful thing that maybe encourages discussion over burning down, you know, historically black neighborhoods during, you know, summers of blaze. But at the same time, I take issue, like I did the first time with the anthem stuff, I took major issue with the reason why people were protesting, because it was based upon a lie. It was predicated upon a lie. It began with, oh, well, it's because they're trying to argue that police kill more black assailants than white assailants. And that actually isn't the case. Especially when, and we went through all of that. You can go back in our podcast archive if you would like to, but that's actually technically not true. And that was my issue. It's like, well, if you're going to protest something, then make it something that is factual, therefore worthy of that protest, because it's not based on a lie. If you're upset about policing in the black community, then make that an issue about advocacy for improving that relationship, but don't claim that you want to help a situation by beginning the advocacy based on a lie. And that was my whole objection to it. So I don't know if that's more of this or what. It seems like a cop-out. It does. It seems like, how is that not part of your routine? And as Steve was saying, when everybody's standing and they're all out there, it just looks weird, right? It's just weird.
With expenses soaring and little left after filling up the car and buying groceries, many find themselves swiping their credit cards and plunging into high interest debt. If you are a homeowner, American Financing offers a solution. They provide relief from the burden of credit card interest rates. American Financing is empowering customers to save an average of $854 monthly by utilizing home equity to eradicate high interest debt. A simple, complimentary 10-minute call can unveil your potential savings. Plus, rest assured, there are no upfront fees, and by taking action today, you might even postpone two mortgage payments. Reach out to American Financing now at 866-574-2500 or visit AmericanFinancing.net to take control of your financial future. Again, that's 866-574-2500 or visit online at AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It's one of the highest minimum wages in the country, and the first time state lawmakers have mandated a minimum wage for just one industry. Supporters say it's time for the billion-dollar corporations to pay a living wage.
How's it going?
But many franchise owners, like Jessica Diambra, who runs 11 McDonald's around L.A., say the law puts an unfair strain on their businesses already operating on slim margins.
Do you feel targeted that it's specifically for fast food?
Yes, and I think people just don't realize that. They see this big McDonald brand and just think, oh, they've got all the money in the world, and it's just that's not at all how it is.
McDonald's, Chipotle, and Starbucks already saying they plan to raise prices to offset the rising labor costs. Pizza Hut preemptively laid off 1,200 delivery drivers like Michael Ojeda.
I was very frustrated. A lot of us got our jobs taken from us.
He was let go after 8 years.
What's the point of the raise if you don't have a job anymore?
I mean, it's almost like people who didn't know anything about economics didn't think this all the way through. Shocking, because we told people. Kane, did we not tell the people?
Oh, we did.
We warned them.
Oh.
We warned them. We told them.
Even with people like Carol Roth and Charles Payne.
Exactly.
We said it.
We warned y'all, and y'all didn't do nothing. Y'all just, they went ahead and they did it anyway in California. It's not going to go well. That's sad. I mean, the market dictates, you know, these prices. The market is the one that makes the determination. That's the thing that makes the determination as to how much you get paid or how little you get paid. It is a value for the service provided. And people demanding to make the same pay scale as like an EMT or something is insane. I mean, for you're technically making a sandwich. Just saying. I mean, it's no, there's no shame in honest work. Honest work is honest work, and there's no shame in honest work. But there is shame in demanding that you be somehow unfairly compensated because you are unhappy with your station in life. And instead of working to improve your station in life, you're just demanding a government handout. That's exactly what it is. Inflated wage is just welfare. And it's at the expense of the business owner, which then passes it on to the customer. And this idea that just because you own a business means you're a millionaire, I mean, the economic illiteracy in this nation is embarrassing. There are people that I went to school with where they owned a couple of, their families owned a couple of fast food places, and they were middle class. They weren't rich, you know? Maybe, you know what they could do? They could get a houseboat on the Lake of the Ozarks for a week. Maybe not a yacht down, you know, like in the French Riviera, but they could, you know, they could make ends meet. They were comfortable. They weren't like rich. They weren't wealthy. There's a difference between being comfortable and being wealthy. And there's such an economic illiteracy. And so you're told to covet what your neighbor has instead. This is insane. It's commie stuff. We have a whole second hour on the way. So stick with us. More of the Dana Show right back after this. Goldcorp Precious Metals, they make it easy to navigate the very oversaturated gold IRA field. And it is. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, and it can seem confusing, and it can seem tough to find a precious metals company that you can trust. And wasteful government spending, printing more money, I mean, this is why we're in this inflation hellscape that we're in. So add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Goldco. They have a very unique quality with an education-first position, so they're going to give you a lot of thorough information in a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It'll explain the economy, explain how gold IRAs work. You can also learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver in this free 2024 gold kit. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. It's a very important part of your saving strategy, y'all, as you know. No pressure. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee and take advantage of their unmatched customer service, zero complaint record. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver only at danalikesgold.com.
It's kind of like one is old and effective and compassionate, yeah, has a heart and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
okay, interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, really. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election and hopefully people will realize what's at stake, because it's an existential question. What kind of country we're going to have, what kind of democracy we're going to have. And people who blow that off are not paying attention, because it's not like Trump, his enablers, his empowerers, his allies are not telling us what they want to do. I mean, they're pretty clear about what kind of country they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, like where we want you to leave us alone, you psychopath. We don't want to get Vince fostered simply because, you know, we oppose your policies. Good heavens. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That woman is insufferable, absolutely insufferable. She's essentially, well, she's not essentially saying, she's like, oh, well, get over yourself. I don't understand. It's not a hard choice. It isn't. I don't know why anybody would think that it is. She's still, you know what? She's got all these flavors and she chooses salty cane. She's still salty over the fact that she lost. She cheated and she still lost in 2016. Hold up. First off, bookmark that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, your lovable hostess, making friends, right? Listen all around the country. You can listen all over the internet. We're also on X, Channel 347 DirecTV, simulcast with the radio program. To my point, she cheated and still lost. How bad do you just suck out loud that you still lose even after you cheat? And you still lose. That just proves how unlikable she is. Democrats are in a bit of a pickle. When I think of their future, I am giddy. Because it looks so bleak. Think about it. Who do they got? I want you to console yourself for a moment. I know we talk about, though, because the primary got started super early. But think about this for a minute. Who do they have? No, for real. Who do they have? Who? Who?
Newsom?
No, really? The guy who looks like a Lazy Town character? Not the band, but the...
Yeah, the villain.
Villain?
Yeah.
Isn't that a band name? The Lazy Town?
The Lazy Town villain?
No, no, no. What? Sorry. Hold up.
No. I know what you're talking
about. Band is it? When the lyrics were like, "Be my butterfly, sugar baby," and I died. What? We're going with Lazy Town. Crazy Town. That's what it was. Crazy. Same difference. Jeez. Plasticine, everything. Anyway, Gavin Newsom looks like he's a character from Lazy Town, and he's about as bad as that Robbie Rotten guy. He, the train stuff is just by itself crazy baggage for him. I mean, he's got a lot, and apparently his marriage isn't exactly an asset. I'm just saying, there's a lot of stuff that's been written and said. You know what I mean? Like, there's lots of baggage there. I'm just saying, like, if he runs, you know how the ladies come out of the woodwork to make accusations, and in his case, it might be true. That being said, who do they have? Okay, so move Newsom aside, because he's a liability. Cuomo was going to be their dude. They were grooming him. That's why he came out with that book and all that stuff. He wanted to have this, like, national recognition, and he really wanted to, you know, he wanted to be the guy. He was going to be the guy. And then he killed all them old people in the nursing homes with his edict, right, during COVID. That ruined him. His brother's embarrassing, so he's ruined. Who do they got? Big Gretch? Big Gretch up in Michigan? Trans Paul Bunyan? Okay. It's true. Tell me I'm a liar.
I was going to step in with another name. Yeah. Isn't Marianne Williamson still in the race or no?
Who?
Remember the
you get a free crystal with every vote.
The crystals and
the crystals and oils lady.
Yeah. She's running, right? Isn't she running on the Democrats?
If you just put some of the oils between your toes, your flu goes away.
That
I don't
could
know.
Be true.
I am not with you right now. Settle down over there, bacteria tea. Settle down. I don't know who. So Big Gretch, just so you know, Big Gretch was. Why do we sweep this under the rug? The FBI literally tried to entrap people into a plot that they created to kidnap her so that they could arrest people. And then when the guys that they were claiming were in the militia were like, wow, this is crazy. We're not involved in this. They had to like try to stretch it to try to hook the net, get their hooks into people. We just sweep that under the rug that was literally an FBI plot involving Big Gretch. And she went along with it. I'm just saying, I feel like she's compromised. So who else do they have? Poot Booty Juice?
No, he's not going to run.
Fudge Bootin' Juice up there, and where is he at now? I don't know.
What?
Him?
Not him.
Yeah, I Bidened his name. It's okay. I mean, he can't do any, he can't even wear a hard hat properly. So him? They literally have nobody, guys. They have nobody. Remember they were going to do the Castro brothers from Texas? Remember this? Their mom was in La Raza. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were going to do the Castro brothers, and then they realized they were dumb, and that was bad. Sidebar, this is one of my favorite stories in the history of political stories. So the story involving the Castros, excuse me, allergies. The story involving the Castros, one of them was, hold on, let me look, which one was it? Castro. One of them was the mayor of San Antonio. They're identical twins. Right. So Julian Castro he also was in the Obama administration. You had Julian and Joaquin Castro. And he was the mayor of San Antonio. This is like back in 2009. He joined Obama's cabinet in 2014. And there was one point when they were having their mayoral race, right? They were going to have, he had an election coming up. And, you know, they do the Riverwalk Parade down in San Antonio. They get their little floats, their little barges, and they go down the river. They have a parade like that. And it was, I think, Julian Castro that had a fundraiser. And so he substituted his identical twin to stand in for him and wave at people and pretend that he was the mayor. I am not even kidding you. And it was a local reporter that accidentally uncovered it. He caught him and he's like, wait a minute, where's your brother at? And he's like, oh, I'm caught. He's at a fundraiser. And so they wrote about, oh my gosh, Julian Castro literally substituted his brother Joaquin in the parade for him to wave at everybody and act like he was the mayor. And their defense, I kid you not, I've written about it. You can Google it. I think it was KSAT that wrote about it. Their defense was, well, we can't help it. I'm not kidding you. The verbatim quote, I will never forget this. Verbatim quote, we can't help it that we look alike. That was their defense. Their defense was, you know, they can't help it that, you know, we can't help it that we look alike. And then Joaquin said, you know, they just have me step onto the barge. And before I knew it, people were yelling at me, Julian, and you know, calling him the mayor. And he goes, well, I was shouting back at them, I'm not the mayor, I'm his brother, but no one heard me. And other people were like, you did not shout anything back, you absolute stooge. That was their defense. I'm not even kidding. Can you imagine what they would do if he, I made this point at the time when the story came out. I'm like, can you imagine what they would do if one of them got to the White House? That's weird. They're already doing the switcheroo thing. That's no. So that was their, they were grooming one of the brothers. That's why they had him in the Obama administration. And he gave the speech. He gave the keynote address at, I think it was the 2012. It was the 2012 election and, or the 2012 DNC, their convention. But they never went anywhere because they're really dumb as a box of rocks. So that was abandoned. So, and they're nuts. Like if you ever read their tweets, they're just, oh, me hoy ni hoy crazy. It's just so bad. So they don't have anybody else. Who? There's no up and coming person. There's no, like, they don't have any young guns. Who else do they have? Think about it real hard. Who else do they got?
I mean, I'm only thinking of the independents now. Like RFK Jr. and Jill Stein. Those.
They're Democrats. They're not independents.
Well, I know. But you know what I mean.
They would caucus with Democrats.
But that's, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, they don't have anybody. So I feel pretty confident, you know, like the future's bright. I'm just saying. They don't really have a lot. So she's so bitter. You had these old people jockeying to get into, if Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama had not sucked up all the energy in the DNC, there would be like room for other people. But one of the things that they famously did was they did not encourage younger politicians to protect their legacy. They were very, very territorial about that. And that's to the downfall of the party. A couple of other things here. So speaking of the DNC and GOP, the GOP, Florida is paving the way for a 6-week abortion ban. The Supreme Court upheld a 15-week ban in a bombshell ruling, but voters are going to weigh in on the access in the 2024 election. And of course, there are some very thirsty clout chasers out there who pretend to be conservative and never, ever move the needle in actual real-time meat space, who are now arguing against life in Florida. It's pretty amazing. Now, this is something that the voters are doing. This is not something that Ron DeSantis, you know, wrote in his office and is like, here, pass this. This is what voters are, they're going to vote on it. And DeSantis would sign it into law if it passed and they voted on it, etc. So I see these, and I made a mention of it today. I had a little catty remark today, and this is what it refers to. Because they keep seeing people like these conservative clout chasing influencers who literally never they're absent. Whenever rubber hits the road, they are never to be found. I never see some of these people who they have an audience on social media, but they have zero capital in the real world. None. I mean, I'd throw you out a list of names and I could tell you all the places that they'd never been. They don't fundraise for other people. They don't go and try to get out the vote. All they do is they try to raise money for themselves on social media and they act like they create this Sun Tzu optic of being connected and they're not. They are literally nowhere to be found when it's time to move the needle. And nothing that they do actually shows that there's any measurable move of the needle. And they're out there blasting not just Republicans in Florida, but for whatever reason, they have a fetish for going after DeSantis. I think they're secretly obsessed in like a Glenn Close, we're going to boil your bunny in a pot style. I mean, they have like an AOC like obsession with him. It's weird. And they're like, oh my gosh, they're going to ruin it for everybody in Florida. And I'm like, who's they? The voters? because this is literally what the voters are moving towards. This has nothing to do with the governor's office. He comes into the equation if he signs it. You absolute turds. He comes into the equation if he signs it. That's how this works. How do we civics? And people need to remember, Florida is not like all the other states. Like Texas isn't like all the other states. Like Illinois isn't like all the other states. What plays well in Florida may not play well somewhere else. What plays somewhere else may not play well in Florida. I mean, the fact that we keep having to have conversations with these so-called wannabe operatives shows how much not they're not at all operatives. They're doing what works for Florida, clearly, because the voters are going to take it to the ballot box. Now, I'll get it. I'll give you this. There might be some credible concern about getting people out to vote. But really, if you're going to sit here and weigh a 6-week abortion ban, which is just a few weeks shy of what the national average, what the majority of Americans think about it, are you really going to try to weigh that against all the victories that they've had in Florida that even caused Democrats to convert to Republicans and now have Republicans out registering Democrats in that state 3-1? You honestly think that that's going to compete? You're going to sit here and try to boil all the rhetoric down to a couple of weeks, like a few weeks? That's not going to work. So get smart about the messaging. And everybody, you know, the thirsty wannabe clout chasing influencers, pop a Midol and have a seat. Let the big kids handle it. This is the best coffee that's out there. If you haven't tried it yet, you're missing out, because this is a veteran owned and veteran staffed. And they also have some active duty coffee company. And their mission, they support veterans and first responder causes, and they get much needed equipment to first responders as well. They help veterans fight diseases, PTSD, so much more. And they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They have these amazing roast profiles, and they develop those with the same mission focus they learned while serving our great nation. Every bag that is from Black Rifle Coffee is roasted right here in America. They don't do what some of these other cats do, and that they get these bags of coffee and they roast them, you know, in a foreign country, and then they bring them in and white label them and act like they do it here. That's not what Black Rifle Coffee does. And they have affordable choices. They have affordable, different affordable roasts. Everything's affordable at Black Rifle Coffee, especially when you join that Black Rifle Coffee Club and you choose your selected roast, how often you want it, delivered to your doorstep with free shipping. You never run out of coffee. You can also find kettles, grinders, mugs, apparel, all kinds of stuff, and get 20% off with code Dana. So try it for yourself today. Visit blackriflecoffee.com. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off, code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Somebody in Texas got the bird flu. Apparently that's was announced. NBC, well, all the affiliates everywhere is talking about it. They said it was an infection tied to the recent discovery of the virus in dairy cows, according to health officials. The patient's being treated with an antiviral drug. Their only reported symptom was eye redness. So they say that the risk to the public is low. Y'all don't need to be freaking out. Just, you know, good grief. It's just stop. It's stop. But it is one person in Texas. I'm like, why Texas? The last survivor of the USS Arizona from the Pearl Harbor attack has passed away at age 102. Lou Conter, the very last survivor of the USS Arizona from the Pearl Harbor attack, was 102 years old. And he passed away Monday at his home in Grass Valley, California. His family was beside him. And as you remember, the Arizona lost 1,177 sailors and Marines in 1941. And he was a quartermaster. He stood on the main deck as the Japanese planes flew overhead. And sailors were just beginning to hoist the flag when the assault began. And he had once recalled how one bomb penetrated steel decks 13 minutes into the battle and set off a million pounds of gunpowder stored below. And he said, he had an autobiography, the Lou Conter story, but 102 years old. There's not a lot of these guys left. Not a lot of them left at all. It says the lonely crowd. 40% of adults go days without face-to-face interaction. I mean, have you seen people lately, though? Do you blame them? Have you just, like, heard people talk? Have you heard the hot takes? Have you seen them? Do you blame them? I'm just saying. Taco Bell and Pizza Hut are going AI first, according to their new tech chief. What does this mean? Like, does this mean, like, you know, my burrito is going to be made well, properly, right? Am I going to get my mild sauce? There's no, like, medium. The medium is also fire. It's straight, like, acid in a packet. There's no in-between with the sauces.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it's
Taco
heinous.
Bell?
Yeah. The sauce is like, it's either like barely flavor or you're dying. That's it. We have more on the way. Stick with us. Bottom of this second hour rolls on.
Where can you make a difference in your world? Pastor Alan Jackson explains.
The kitchen table is our first assignment. If we can't bring that biblical worldview to the people in our home, it's nonsense to look beyond that. Now, that's the hardest place because those are the same people that see you kick the dog. And then it's hard to talk to them about faith. But if we can do that, use the sphere of influence God has given us at our kitchen table and then our holiday table, that's a transformational process.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. Watch the simulcast. So in Scotland, they've passed these hate speech laws, which is stupid. It's now hate speech, however they want to define it, is now illegal in Scotland. A new law went into effect. And the new law is garbage. It's punitive towards truth. It's the Scotland Hate Crime Act. And they said that it was passed because of the T of the alphabet, right? It is one of the most restrictive things that I have seen. And J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter series, who has been waging a war against the Transtifa people. I mean, she's been clearly illustrating how this can be weaponized to just go after women. I mean, you can't say that women exist in Scotland. You can't just really just say that. That's to the exclusion of men who are pretending to be women, and so you can get in trouble for that. It's the Hate Crime and Public Order Act, and they said that they want to provide greater protection for, like, the Transtifa. But if you criticize gender cosplay, you're in huge trouble. I mean, you could be investigated if you misgender someone online, which is a fake word. Misgender is so stupid. If you call a dude, and he doesn't want to be called a dude, then you could get in big-time trouble. By the nanny state government. No joke. So J.K. Rowling's like, come and arrest me. Because it's a ridiculous bill. And a lot of people have been, they've been protesting. I mean, you can't say that a man can't become a woman. You can't say that over there now. If you so much as like make a joke, they said a family text or dinner table joke could land you in jail. It's true. I mean, it is a sinister law that the aim of which is to completely obliterate free speech. That's what the aim of it is. When the bill was going through the Scottish Parliament, the PM was asked why there was no, they called it dwelling defense. And they said that it's a safeguard that they have in other legislation that protects you from being litigated against, you know, for something that you say in your own home. Their prime minister, Humza Yousaf, said, quote, are we comfortable giving a defense to someone whose behavior is threatening or abusive, which is intentionally stirring up hatred? Are we saying that it's justified because it's in the home? So they tried adding, the conservatives in Scotland tried adding a dwelling defense, and they were defeated. So even in your own home, you can be persecuted for stuff that you say in your own home. That's totally, absolutely true, 1,000%. So if, like, you can be prosecuted for this. If it is considered to arbitrarily stir up hatred, and that's not the Scottish Prime Minister, that's the British. If it is found to be intentionally stirring up hatred, then you, and then think about this. If you're inciting, what is the, first off, what's the definition of incite? What's the definition of hatred? What's the definition of hate speech? Because it's all arbitrary. It all comes down into how progressives define it. For crying out loud, in this country, I had sitting members of Congress calling me a domestic terrorist, which has legal consequences, by the way. simply because I supported Second Amendment right of self-defense. No joke. J.K. Rowling went on this. She went on a rant yesterday highlighting some of these trans Tifa activists slash criminals. She said, lovely Scottish lass and convicted double rapist, Ela Bryson, found her true authentic female self shortly after she was due to be sentenced. Misgendering is hate, so respect Ela's pronouns, please. Love the leggings. She said, Scottish woman and butcher Amy George abducted an 11-year-old girl while dressed in female clothing. No idea why this was mentioned in court. Of course she was wearing women's clothing. She's a woman. Amy took the girl home and sexually abused her over a 27-hour period. I mean, these dudes, the photos that she shows, they are men dressing as women, and they all look like Silence of the Lambs. It puts the lotion in the basket and wears the skin type of dudes. Samantha Norris looks like literally a nightmare come to life. Samantha Norris is cleared of exposing her penis to two 11-year-old girls. Hooray! Unfortunately, she was then convicted for possession of 16,000 images of children being sexually assaulted. I mean, you transgender in the Scottish legislation, and the reason I bring this up is because the leftists want this here. The legal definition of transgender in the act is defined so ambiguously. It is so broad that if a dude chooses to wear a dress that day, has a beard and everything else, that's protected. That's crazy. It's not a crime to incite hatred towards women, but it is a crime to incite hatred against men who dress as women. That's this law. This is criminal law. This is Scotland's parliament trying to tell people how to think. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And the left wants to bring that here to the United States. I mean, they're just destroying protections for women. I mean, I'm almost speechless. They have people have been protesting. But what are you going to do? It's already, you get the government that you voted for, right? You get the government that you voted for. Now, in the meantime, in Australia, let me pull this story up for you. Elon Musk is suing Australia's government after they have an e-safety commissioner in Australia. Go figure that one out. Australia demanded that this post written by this Canadian guy named Chris Elston, he quote unquote misgendered an Australian citizen. They demanded that the post be taken down. And they told X that they would fine them $800,000 if they didn't remove the post. And the guy that was criticized, Teddy Cook, excuse me, is a woman who cosplays as a man and has demanded taxpayer-funded surgeries for all transgender Australians. And this female who cosplays as a dude, Teddy Cook, was appointed as an expert to the World Health Organization. I'm not even kidding you. So they told Musk, your ex has to take this down or we're going to fine you. And Musk turned around and sued him. Good. They said they're mounting a legal challenge to protect the user's right to free speech, as they should. They said, but the post criticized an individual appointed by the World Health Organization to serve as an expert on transgender issues. So, nope. But the e-safety commissioner, apparently they said that if it all follows through, the challenge will likely take the form of a judicial review in federal court. And X is currently engaged in a separate judicial review in federal court with the e-safety commissioner. And now it's just wild. It is just crazy. They're like, you can't misgender someone. You can't make decisions. Shut up. You're a chick pretending to be a dude. Step off. Done with this stuff. If you don't absolutely affirm my mental illness and affirm my self-perception, then I'm going to punish you. Now, that doesn't sound like you live your life, I live my life, does it? That's what these people have never wanted that. They will break your damn knees to bend them. Do not ever doubt that. Good for Musk. I wanted to all follow through. In Texas, according to Texas Scorecard, oh, you're going to like this, Keen. The Texas Ethics Commission, they're looking at a rule. They're meeting in June. And apparently they have secret speech police to consider targeting citizen social media posts. It is a new rule being considered by the Texas Ethics Commission. This comes by way of Texas Scorecard. And they said it would have the commission policing the social media posts of its citizens. And it's the Texas Election Code. They say it generally requires political advertising to claim a disclaimer. The code has created several exceptions. One such exception is online advertising done by entities other than the candidate that does not exceed $100. So they moved, this was in just a few days ago, well, about 2 weeks ago. They moved unanimously to amend, to consider amending the rule at their June meeting to include the requirement that a person or group posting whatever political message online, quote, did not post or repost the political advertising in return for consideration. So they want to go after paid influencers who get compensation for apparently paid political posts. Which I do think those are out there, and I know some of them. A lot of those influencers that you see whose stuff I've seen some of you share, they're paid influencers. They are. I still don't think that they should have their speech policed. I don't support anything that allows the public to be comfortable in their apathy. That's me. Freedom should be difficult because it was hard won, and you have the privilege of working to maintain it. Do not cede anything like that to the government. But there are some people who are saying, well, you know, they don't want regular citizen speech to be chilled. But we do think that, you know, some of these, you know, these people who, you know, are trying to influence stuff out there and they don't tell people they're being paid. It's kind of obvious when they are. I think that, and you don't have to be deep into politics or digital communication like me to see it. I mean, you're smart. You don't need the government slapping, you know, Tipper Gore-like labels on people's speech, right? I reject all of that stuff. I reject all the labels and all of that stuff. I know in a hot second when somebody's been paid to influence. I can, you know, after 2024, maybe we'll name some of them, but you can see it. I mean, it's really obvious. I'm just saying, this seems dangerous, doesn't it? To have like a warning label like this, like in return for consideration. What does it even mean? It's like they're trying to, because is that going to apply to anybody who just happens to post or repost something, a political message that they happen to like and they're not involved with the campaign? Because that's what it seems like, according to what's laid out by Texas Scorecard. I mean, it seems like it's designed in a way to scare people away from sharing stuff that they agree with for out of fear that they could be targeted by this. And I mean, do you honestly think, and Texas is no different. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Doesn't matter where you're from. I mean, this is goofy. They said that, one campaign finance attorney went after it, Tony McDonald. Now they have no timeline for when they're going to approve this. They're just meeting in June. That's all we know. But I think that Texans should call their state lawmakers and say, why are you basically appointing secret speech police to watch what we post online? You absolutely should. You should ask your lawmakers where they stand on this. And then ask them why, if they think that John Cornyn knows what brisket is. We're going to have to talk about that later. I don't know if you guys saw that. John Cornyn posted a photo of what he said was brisket yesterday. Kane, that wasn't brisket. No. That was abuse. It was. That was a nightmare. Yeah. It was a travesty. Ketchup was involved. You can't tell me that wasn't ketchup, right? That was ketchup. It looked like ketchup. Dude, we're going to have a conversation about this. It's just blasphemous. As we move our partners, I'll bring you free radio. We have a Florida man on the way. Hillsdale College, founded in 1844, pursuit of truth and defense of liberty, all are hallmarks of Hillsdale, have been since they were founded in 1844, like I said. They have all kinds of free resources online, and you can take advantage of them. They have deep dives, lectures from visiting authors, really educational and insightful topics that they cover. They have a brand new one that is free for you. It's led by Victor Davis Hanson, and it looks at citizenship. It's called American Citizenship and Its Decline. And it's not just strictly related to, you know, immigration, particularly across the southern border. It actually goes deeper in that. It looks at citizenship and freedom and how citizenship, there's a value to it and an investment that people feel in their country when they're a part of it and the freedom that provides. It looks at, it traces the history of citizenship and how everything from identity politics to the administrative state undermines it. It's a great course. It's free. And online courses like this are an important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. To sign up for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, visit Dana4, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4. Hillsdale.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This guy's name just is, I gotta say, is pretty funny. This guy, of course, everything is gonna freeze on my thing. It's just perfect. I love you, Safari, you absolute horrible thing. Ex-college grid star was stranded in a kayak for hours in the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Florida. He said he threw his hands up and screamed. He's an Alabama native. His name is Chris Smelly. Mr. and Mrs. Smelly's son came. The Smellys. The Smelly family. He played for University of South Carolina. And he took his kayak out in Grayton Beach, Florida. He thought it would be a short fishing excursion. And he left without a phone or life jackets. Encountered heavy winds. Was swept 8 miles off the coast. Couldn't return to shore. And they had to go out and save him. He was wearing, you know, dark clothes, and his kayak was in dark colors. So super smart, right? Chopper sent out. Coast Guard got him. He was reunited with his family. He's fine, but good grief, you know. Think when you're doing this stuff. Take some stuff with you. Iowa law enforcement arrested a Florida dude because they found a pound of meth in his vehicle. Methed up. He looks like it. I mean, if you're going to find a pound of meth in a guy's vehicle, it would be this guy. I mean, he looks like the guy who would have it. They did a probable cause search of the vehicle. He was speeding, driving erratically, and they found a pound of meth. He's from Winter Haven, Florida, and he faces lots of charges because he had prescription drugs, all kinds of stuff. He was had the intent to distribute because he had a lot of it, obviously. Let's see. This we had the Florida alligator thrown off the roof like 2 weeks ago. We're not going to do that one. This guy, this Florida man, he's underage in BC too. He was accused of having a loud party atop of a construction crane in Naples. I don't know how that happens. How do you have in Naples, Florida? He had a huge party on a crane.
On a crane.
On a crane. Residents called Naples police and they said, "We are seeing some weird stuff. There's a giant party happening on this construction it's a crane at a construction site." And they went there as 18-year-old dude, loud music. Apparently they were able to get the people to come down from the crane. They charged two people with misdemeanor trespassing. Of all the places to have a party, like why is it at a on a crane? I don't know. And a Florida woman was caught on a doorbell camera stealing Easter eggs off of a porch. 5:47 in the morning, Pasco County. So she's the Easter Grinch now. Pasco said that the county sheriff's office said they're investigating after they got numerous reports of items stolen from homes in this area. Nobody knows why she decided to steal Easter eggs. I don't know. They haven't identified her. We have third hour on the way. Stay with us. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the nation. For 10 years, they have been leading the way and standing behind their service and their values as a company. And they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all major networks. You are getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the far left. You're not funding things like DEI or Trans Visibility Day or gun control or any of those things. With all of these other competitors out there that offer worse service and have horrible customer service on top of it, you're actually weaponizing your own dollars against yourself because they spend it politically against the things that you vote against every time you're at the ballot box. And so when you switch to Patriot Mobile, not only are you putting momentum and fuel behind the things that you vote to protect,
but you're also helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It makes it easy to switch. Keep your phone or your number. Upgrade. The choice is yours. Doesn't matter. And make sure that you get free activation using code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
To this year's election.
I think one of the things that you're going to be seeing Democrats talk about is how we understand that we need comprehensive immigration reform. You know, it's not just about building a wall, it's about making sure that our airways and our waterways are secure.
What? Who this girl? Who this girl? Wait, hold on. This is top Biden surrogate, Sarah Godalewski or Godalowski or whatever. Wow. Okay. They look so happy behind her. They all have like weird, mean face. I don't know. Yeah. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour. And this is a Biden surrogate that. What does that have? Airways and waterways are secure. What?
She was asked, the polling is showing that people think Trump can better handle immigration. So how do you think Democrats can address that? And that's what she said.
What does she mean, airways? She having trouble breathing? Airways and waterways are secure. I'm done. When is the eclipse again? Are we sure it's just not Smod coming, please?
April 8th.
I hope it's Smod. I hope it's not an eclipse. I hope they're all wrong. I hope it's Smod. I want this rock to just hit ours and then blast it into a billion bits. I'm done. We want our airways and waterways to be secure. Yeah, I'm done. You want to know why I'm done? Because of this, and apparently now they're saying Gabriel.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Gabriel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gabriel. So it's not enough to have the Gabriel. Trans day of visibility or visibility. What is it? I don't know which one it is.
Trans day of visibility.
Because isn't there a lesbian one too?
Of visibility?
Yeah, because they're invisible, usually.
Oh.
There's all kinds of visibility days. Let me look. Let's see here. Oh. What? Wow. Uh-oh. Trans Day of Remembrance, the Celebrating Bisexual Visibility Day or whatever. Trans Visibility Day. National Coming Out Visibility, Intersex Visibility Day. What is that? Lesbian Visibility Week. So wait, the Lesbian Visibility gets a day and Lesbian Visibility also gets a week. And then there's Gabriel, the Pride Month. You get too much stuff. Stop it.
Holy cow.
Save some time on the calendar for the rest of us. Right. You don't get all these days just because you want to have sex. This is so stupid.
My mom only gets one day for Mother's Day.
Yeah. Mom and dads get a day.
Jesus.
He's two. That's it.
Two. That's yeah. It.
Veterans, you get a day. You get one day.
That's it.
And then they have, because you have Alphabet History Month, which is October, and Pride Month, which is June.
The whole of labor only gets a day.
Yeah. All of labor gets a day. They get a day. This is all about all the ways people want to get it on. You don't get a day for that. That's like saying, well, I'm a man and I choose to sit to pee. Where's my day of visibility? You don't get days for this stuff. Why do you have to have a day? Why do you have to have a flag for that matter? We're making flags for everything now. Well, I like to cut my pasta. I know it's an affront to the people of Italy, but I still cut it anyway. You get a flag for that. You get a flag for that. Everything gets a flag. Gabriel. I'm not going to tell you immediately what popped into my head in response to that. And Kane's like, how about I just type it into Slack? You know what I was thinking of, Kane?
What?
Make your mic off. Turn it. You know what I was thinking? That's what I thought. The month of. That's what I thought. Makes sense.
It does make sense.
And then there's the agender people. Who are they? Who are they? This is all the different ways you get it on. Why do you have to have days for this stuff? That's, oh my gosh, some of these days I've never even heard of. Have you heard of aromantic visibility day?
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day, right? Or,
no.
What?
Aromanticism.
Aromanticism?
Yeah, it's an oxymoron. It is a romantic orientation characterized by having no romantic attraction. I'm not kidding you. That's how it's defined. Their flag is green, another shade of green, white, gray, and black.
There's a class for that. Just like there's an app for everything, there's a class for everything now.
There's the ace awareness or ace visibility. What is that? People that have no sexual attraction in others. Are you going to march for that? We don't like anybody. We're not sexually attracted to you. And they march for it. How thirsty are you people?
It's called ace?
Yeah, ace.
Like the bandage?
Yeah. Or the hardware store.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you. They have, you're not going to believe me until I put it in here. Why do you have to have, if you don't have feelings for anybody, how would anybody know unless you constantly tell people about it? We don't have an orientation. I sent Kane and them a picture in Slack of them marching. Why do you have to march for that?
They have a website and everything.
Yeah, they do. For what? I have no clue. I mean, there's so much of this stuff. Intersex awareness, intersex remembrance. Oh, lesbian day, and then lesbian visibility day.
Oh, they're two different days?
Yeah, because one has to be for the invisible lesbians.
Oh.
Like, they're actually invisible. Why we don't have them in a spec ops team, I have no clue.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I'd be sending some, you know, invisible lesbos out there to go and be, you know, blowing everything up. That would, they'd be like, man, don't mess with America. They're going to send all those invisible lesbians after you. Seriously, that's a superpower.
On all the days they're not visible.
Yeah. Apparently they're only visible one day. That's it. Then you get the pronouns, the Trans Awareness Month, Trans Awareness Week, Trans Day of Remembrance, Trans Day of Visibility. Shut up. You get too many. You're overrepresented. You're a tiny percentage of the population dealing with a mental issue. You're entirely overrepresented in society. You don't get this many days on the calendar. Stop it. I like to tuck. Where's my flag? Stop. You don't get flags for that.
The same visibility week.
There's too many of these things. Too many days. Why?
Now, I kind of understand how these days get created. You know, the proclamations that have to happen in order for these days to get created. But what is the process to remove a day?
You don't.
Or a week or a month?
It's never been tried, Kane.
Must be a process.
It's never been tried.
Well, I'm willing to give it a shot.
I mean, if they can get days for all of this, can I just get, I want a day. National Day of Leave Me the Hell Alone. Where it's a day about leaving me alone. Yeah. I know my phone doesn't ring. I don't get a text. I don't get an email. Nothing. I don't get anybody crying out for attention. Nothing. It's amazing. I want that day. Leave me alone day. Yeah. What about National Super Tuscan Wine Day? I mean, I don't know. Right? Why not make a day for everything? National Brisket Day, in which part of the pastime is we ridicule John Cornyn. Yes, the senator from Texas. Dana, why are you so mean, you might ask. What did meat do to him? Did you see his photo? Did you see it? Did you see this whatever this is?
Fortunately, I did.
Oh, my gosh. So, look, in my house, this was his way of trying to bond with people, by the way. I don't think it worked. In my house, we are big time foodies. I am a baker. I love to do sauces. And my husband handles the meats, right? And he's, you know, brisket, whether it's ribs, whatever. He takes his brisket very seriously. Brisket is like a religious exercise in Texas. And there's one thing that you don't do. You don't cover it with sauce. I cannot stand people who call sauce-covered meat barbecue. That's just meatloaf. That's not what that is. I don't like soupy barbecue. That's nasty. If the meat isn't good enough to stand on its own, don't serve it. That's my rule. So good brisket is smoked. You got the burn-ins. You can see, you can literally see the smoke line in the meat. It's delicious. I don't know what he did here. Honestly, it looks like French fries covered in ketchup. I really don't know. It's oven brisket, number one. This is oven. It looks like oven brisket, doesn't it?
It looks like they did something to cook it, and then they sliced it up.
He put it in a casserole dish, and I can tell that he had that in the oven.
Yeah, and you can see that just part of
Pyrex.
The little tips at the top of the brisket there, a little,
That didn't even burn ends. No. That is not even burn ends.
No.
And it's slathered in, I don't know what it is. It looks like it's...
I just put in Slack the brisket I just recently did. That the difference between those two pictures?
Well, yours looks like meat.
Yeah, it's
I can it's clearly a see that's meat. That is a proper brisket, sir. What John Cornyn threw up is a travesty. It's terrorism, is what it is.
It almost looks like it has bones in it. It's like all my brisket's been boneless.
I never thought anybody could make me hate meat, and then I saw John Cornyn's brisket. And my heart sank, and
Doesn't
I wept.
It look like it has bones in it, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not good.
I don't even know what that is. Anyway, he put it up there, and he's like, he goes, "Let the brisket wars begin again." And then he goes, he follows up, and he says, "With almost 3 million views, Texans, among others, are certainly passionate about their favorite brisket recipe." Yeah, that you're wrong with whatever you're doing. On the right is Cane's, and on the left is, I don't know, a casserole of meat that is not a brisket. You can tell it was popped in the oven. You got the sauce baked in on the Pyrex sides. I mean, come on.
Casserole of meat, that's a great description of what it looks like. It's a casserole.
Yeah, that's not brisket. I don't know why that struck me the wrong way. I only just saw it yesterday, and I just thought, this is so wrong. This is all shades of wrong. It's just not good. This is why stuff like that's why he won't get elected again. I'm just saying, you're not gonna. He wants to have power. He wants to take over for Mitch McConnell as leader in the Senate for the Republicans. I think that should disqualify him. I'm just saying. We have more on the way, including this crazy story that now there's new footage that's been released. It's San Bernardino police. And there was a 15-year-old girl who had been reported missing, and apparently she was kidnapped by her father. The cops caught up with him. He was shooting at them from the car. They were trying to get her out of the car and get her to safety, and apparently she ended up getting just shot by police. And some of the stuff is just still out. It's just now coming out. It's just insane. This whole story is insane to me. We'll talk about it here coming up as we move towards headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Health and Human Services tells hospitals to get patient consent before invasive exams. Wait, they had to be told to get consent? What? That's from The Hill. It says hospitals have to obtain informed consent from patients before physicians can conduct sensitive and invasive examinations like prostate or pelvic, anything like that. Particularly if the patients are under anesthesia, they said. That they didn't have to before? That's kind of weird, right? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, all right. Hospital, oh my gosh, this is a horror mix-up. I can't even believe this is a headline. I mean, I can now, sadly, in this world. A hospital carried out an abortion on the wrong woman in a horror mix-up. It was a healthy woman. She was 4 months pregnant. She was excited about being a mom. She was given anesthesia and a kind of uterus surgery, which led to her miscarrying. And then apparently they said translation difficulties. The woman didn't speak Czech well. And apparently they operated on the wrong person. I cannot even believe. And they get into that. It's a big old long piece over at the Metro about how they were having difficulty communicating with her, and the and they said this is a British paper, and they say Asian, But that to me reads Middle Eastern, because that's how it's a Middle Eastern. They said there were two patients and they were both Middle Eastern, and neither of them spoke English well or at all. And so when they say Asian, that's what they actually mean over there. So that's horrific though. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. Let's see, tornadoes and snow possible, spring storm system moving across the United States. I mean, it literally goes all the way up from Ohio all the way down to the Gulf. It's huge. And they're saying you're going to get some crazy, unpredictable weather with snow, obviously, in the north, and then tornadic activities. Get some of them tornadoes. 40 million people from Texas to New England were under National Weather Service watches last night, mostly related to the storm as it moves towards to the east. Steve, are you expected to get anything? Like any kind of snow? Or you guys don't really get tornadic weather out there, do you? Yeah. And then a section of California Scenic Highway number 1 collapses in a storm. That's kind of scary. There was photos of people. It's right on the coastline, inching around it near Big Sur. Very scary. All right, coming up, this horrible story out of California. We're going to discuss that. Stick with us.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast, and you can also stream the radio program as well, the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV, also on X. This story is wild, and it's made wilder still because it happened 2 years ago in San Bernardino, California. It was in 2022, and a 15-year-old girl was killed in a police shootout with her dad in the California desert. And originally, the reason that it's news right now is because there's newly released video. It's aerial footage from law enforcement showing the moment that it happened. And it was released on Monday evening. And it shows Savannah Graziano slowly approaching officers. They were telling her to crawl towards us. She was in the vehicle in this truck with her dad. And it was originally reported as and discussed as a kidnapping by her dad. Her mom and dad apparently were in a divorce. And it took place September in 2022, and the video shows her dad's is firing at cops. Cops are firing back at him, and gunfire erupts. They were trying to get her to safety, and apparently she was shot in the crossfire. And the footage was only released after reporters were demanding it under the Public Records Act. And they had pulled his truck. They had pulled her father, her father's truck over just before he turned around and started firing at them. They tailed him for like 70 miles. He tried to take it up an embankment, wasn't able to do so. And they have the police officers. And I'm not playing the audio just because you hear the shots. And I mean, somebody's losing their life. The deputies were not wearing body cameras at the time of the incident, but they had audio footage that was released of her getting out of the car, etc. And they were giving her orders as to how to get to them safely. And at one point, you can hear one of the officers, say, get out, come here, come to me, walk, walk, walk. And then you can also hear him yelling at other officers to not shoot. Don't shoot her. She was going towards deputies, and at the time, even, in the weeks after it happened, they weren't exactly clear who shot her. Like, it was crossfire. Was it the cops? Was it her dad? Who was it that did it? The dad was killed in the shootout. And when they first started discussing it, the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, the Sheriff Shannon Dykus said that, originally said that she was wearing body armor and a tactical helmet. And what Dykus said was that evidence suggests that Savannah Graziano was also a participant in shooting at our deputies. But apparently the aerial footage doesn't support that, at least from what is seen. That's kind of odd. And then everybody sort of ran with everything before any video or audio or anything was out. ABC7 said that she had shot at deputies before she was killed in a highway shootout with her dad, because he had apparently killed her mother and then left, and they were saying that it was reported like it was a kidnapping thing. Well, then apparently the latest reports that came out, and this was even after, this was not long after, you know, the sheriff had said that she was probably not only not in tactical gear, but she was unarmed at the time. So then the California Department of Justice took over the investigation, and not a lot of information was coming out about it. I mean, people, you know, sheriff's office, we understand police come under fire and during pursuits, and it's very dangerous and all of this stuff. But there's a lot of questions here, because the sheriff had said, the Shannon Dykus had said that she was not only wearing tactical gear and attack helmet, but that she was a participant. That's a huge accusation to make, because you're talking about a 15-year-old girl whose dad just shot her mom and was on the run from the cops. That's a big accusation to make. And the department would not answer any other questions about it. They said they would no longer comment on it. Everything would be referred to the state AG's office. And the way that this story went down, 24 hours after California Highway Patrol, they put out an Amber Alert for this girl. And that's when the Fontana police found the mom, Tracy Martinez, shot to death in her home, and the girl was missing. And they began looking at, you know, the dad and all this stuff. And apparently there was detectives got a video showing that Savannah was in the back seat of the dad's truck before he got out and killed his wife. Now, I don't think there's enough video. I'm not doing the investigation. I'm just saying from what I'm seeing from this, that doesn't necessarily mean that she was a participant, nor does it mean that she was a hostage either. It's all so weird. This is what happens when you don't have transparency, and then you have media run with narratives before anything's been released. And one of the reasons why you want more information about this is because this is, first off, it's a 15-year-old that's involved. And right out of the gate, it sounds bad. It sounds so bad. And the weird thing is that they're still trying to figure out. I mean, one of the pieces that I read this morning said the investigation is still ongoing. How is it still ongoing 2 years later? I mean, this is wild. Absolutely wild. And then there's been a lot of accusations about the sheriff and whether, you know, DEI and all this other stuff. And, you know, my first thought in seeing this was, if this is this a training thing? Is this a, you know, because you're wondering, this is on New York Post headlines it. New video shows teen kidnapping victim gunned down by cops as she ran toward them for help. That sounds bad, doesn't it? You're like, wow, is that training? Do you not recognize how, like they said, they're investigating still, but this is bad. No matter which way I look at it, it still seems bad, because there doesn't seem to be anything to validate the initial claim made that she was like all decked out in tack gear, and that she was, you know, this was like a Bonnie and Clyde thing. I mean, it was her dad. She just saw her dad kill her mom. I mean, she's 15 years old, you know? It's just, the whole story is weird. And I think there's a reason why they kept this thing under lock and key for so long. Because it just looks bad. It looks just bad. I don't know. It reminds me of the one officer who got hit by an acorn and he unloaded, did a mag dump on this guy in the back of his patrol car because he got hit by an acorn. Now, I'm not saying it's the same thing here, but I just think if you're the sheriff and you're going to go out and you're going to make an accusation like that, and you don't provide anything else to the public to support it, and then 2 years later, people are still asking questions and wondering what's going on, particularly as the aerial footage that was released Monday does not necessarily support the claim that was made 2 years ago. That's a big issue. Don't lie if somebody messed up and try to cover up for it. Goodness. We had one listener who said, yeah, in 2022 is a department that had a history of excessive use of force incidents. But he said, but their chief, not the sheriff, I correct myself, the chief was a DEI hire lady. I mean, even if she was in tactical gear, that's not justification for use of deadly force. I mean, was she firing it? Because at first they were trying to say that she was firing at police. And then now it's like, well, she was unarmed. How are you firing at police when you're on aerial footage crawling on all fours towards said police? You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. So the aerial footage contradicts what the chief was saying originally right after what happened. And the fact that they had to do a FOIA request or a public information request to get this is crazy. I don't know. That's just, it's bad. That's just, it's so bad. And now it's a 15-year-old girl. Her mom's gone, her dad's gone, and now she's gone. And our media's garbage. They immediately ran with this narrative. And everybody's got an agenda. Everybody wants to run with whatever narrative is convenient for them. But it's sad. That's just so sad. But I will say, I will maintain, because you don't know if it was officer error. You just don't even know at this point. It sounds like there was crossfire. They never actually said, was it her dad that did it or the cops? Nobody knows. And funding for training, by the way, when they're calling about defunding the police, you realize this also includes investigative practices, right? Forensics, all of this. It's just sad. It's just incredibly sad. Horrific story. But the chief did not make it easier when they came out and said what they did. This is just wild. But this is new footage that's coming out. And I have this linked in your prep so you can read about it. And all of this stuff. It's just crazy. A couple of things still, I'll pull this up to get into. So Seattle has a lot of schools have this. They have like an accelerated program. Sometimes, I think in elementary school, they call them gifted programs, accelerated tracks, right? So Seattle is ending theirs. They did this, I guess, survey in 2018, and they started the initial steps in 2018 to dismantle it. They said that the gifted students were collectively known as the highly capable cohort. This is an article from Parent Map. And they said that they found that the accelerated track, or this highly capable cohort, was not racially equitable, so they had to dismantle it. Parents whose children were part of the program filed a complaint with the AG, saying that the state law required accelerating learning for advanced students. But they blasted back and said, nope, the program, you know, it's not racially equitable. And they said we'll replace it with a new curriculum. Minority parents were complaining too. And guess what? They actually accused them of being, and I'm looking at this, literally, quote, tokenized. They called them tokens. The director, this was over at their board meeting, their director, Chandra Hampson, said that parents of color who testified against it were being tokenized by white parents. How is this not racism? Listen, an effort to make the program more equitable and to better serve all students, they're phasing out the accelerated track. So you're not going to work to make sure that minority students, which are perfectly capable of being included in accelerated programs, you're not going to make sure that they're reaching their full potential so that they can be included. You're just going to dismantle it because you're assuming that they'll never be able to get into it. That is one of the most racist things I've ever heard. Wow, who designed this? The Klan? Was this from the Klan? Is the Klan up in Seattle schools? Because it sounds like it. Oh my gosh. Why do people still have their kids in public schools? Why are we still being forced to part with property tax dollars for failing public schools? That's another thing that gets me. Especially if you homeschool or if you choose to go to a faith-based school, you're paying double. You're paying for everybody else's tuition and this tuition. And you're not getting the return on your tax dollar for it. That is just sad. And when these parents spoke out, they were actually, I mean, that, and then they were accused of being manipulated by white people. That's also racist. Stop it. Just stop. They did this in California. Do you remember when they took algebra with middle school? They stopped out eighth graders from taking algebra in middle school in California because they said that the influx of Hispanic students, they said as a result, it changed the racial makeup of the schools and they did not find it to be racially equitable. So instead of helping Hispanic students who are just as capable of reading, of being included in accelerated programs and can do the same thing, teachers, you know, the administrators didn't want to take the time or the expense or whatever. And so they just dismantled and stopped eighth graders from taking algebra because they basically assumed that Hispanic students were too stupid. I'm not even joking. That's what they did. That's what they did in California. And they did, in San Francisco, they Also, when they ended their accelerated program, they ended up having to bring it back. It's just, it's educational, it's academic, institutionalized academic racism. Now, here's this is a situation of an example of actual racism. Because the premise is that they don't believe minority students can perform on the same level, so they'll just dismantle it. That's racist.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Tesla sales fell 8.5% the first quarter of this year. Ford this week is laying off two-thirds of its workforce at the F-150 electric Lightning plant. It's also scaling back a battery production facility because of sagging sales. EV sales are nowhere near what this president wanted or expected. Yet the administration continues to shove them down consumers' throats. Why?
Well, let's be clear. Consumers have wanted and purchased more EVs every single year than the year before. And, you know, Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make sure they get a piece of the EV market. Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones forever.
That is such a dippy comparison. That's DEI hire Poop Booty Juice, who says that it's like landlines, which is dumb, because he does not understand where electricity comes from. He also doesn't understand the role that high interest rates are playing into the purchase of this. And he also doesn't apparently get that the internal combustion engine is going to be perennially popular. It is. It's just the way it is. And you're not going to be able to compete with this era in this inflationary period. You're not going to be able to compete at that price point with, you know, traditional vehicles. And yes, they are slowing down. You can sit here and say, well, sales are increasing when they're trying to mandate them. And they're trying to phase out the combustion engine. But no, they're so disappointing. Let me read you these headlines. CNN, how EVs became such a massive disappointment. LA Times, EV sales decline. First EV sales decline in a decade. All of this. You have the New York Times, EV sales drop, Tesla sales drop, EVs drop overall, a sign that the grip on the market is ending. Oh my gosh, this is like headline after headline after headline. GM sales drop on fewer fleet deliveries. EV sales down overall. This is, you know, New York Magazine, EV sales, a once unthinkable scenario, EV sales in decline. They are declining. End of. Kane, today in stupidity.
All right. It is, of course, Karine Jean-Pierre. I don't know if we have time to play all of this, but Peter Ducey had confronted her on Biden using the term bloodbath. And her response is, well, as you'd expect, pretty nonsensical. Here's some of it here.
So I'm going to be really mindful and careful about Donald Trump. But if you read, because he is a candidate, we're talking about the 2024 election, you should read what he said in its context. So you got to read what he said in context.
All right, so they're not letting the bloodbath thing go.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Folks, that does it for us today. We'll be back on air with you tomorrow. Sign up for the newsletter, Chapter Reverse, over at Substack. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. Have a great night.